did. I know. I got so excited talking about the declaration of the elders and the animals when they see the vast throng. I know. I didn't even read the rest of the passage. Yeah, well, I'm going to do that now. Hello, everyone. Martin Zender here at the Revelation series. And it's getting exciting. I mean, the whole thing's exciting to me. But it's exciting that God is using real people, actual people, to enact this crisis of the eons. And these are not superhumans. They become as superhumans when they are given God's Spirit, and that Spirit is put up against an evil force. It is so essential to come up against an evil force to show the grace of God. And that's what I got so excited about yesterday, that ordinary people show extraordinary traits when they're up against adversity. I mean, we see it in our life all the time. You don't know what's in you until you're called upon. And we don't have the strength, we don't have the wherewithal, really, to call upon ourselves. Some of us do. You voluntarily enter a marathon. So you sign up for this stupid race where you have to run 26 miles as fast as you can nonstop. So some of us do volunteer. And there are people who don't really get excited about life unless they're on the edge. You see these people jumping off mountains with parachutes and walking on tight ropes between buildings 500 stories above the ground. And these people do that because ordinary life just doesn't thrill them. So they put themselves forcibly in predicaments. I see people climbing mountains with no tie-ins, no ropes. And they're crazy. One slip and they're dead. But they love that special place between life and death where life has meaning. Life has meaning. And for many of us, we get in a rut and life doesn't have meaning. And it's up to God to put us in situations that bring out the best in us. Otherwise, we're undisciplined. We're undisciplined, you see. And we don't know what's in us. So look at the tribulation that way. I look at it that way with the coming of the vast throng out of every nation and every tribe. That's how I'm looking at it. I have a new view of the tribulation because of this. We look at the tribulation and we tend to think of it as bad news, very bad, the worst thing that ever happened. And it is, but because of it, we're seeing people who now have, I hate to put it this way, so maybe I'll recant, the opportunity. No, I'm going to recant it already. These people who now have the God-given platform, the stage on which to enact the crisis of the eons and to show the Spirit of God within them. That's what Calvary was to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He didn't want to go. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, I don't want to go. If there's another way, let's have it. Bring it forth. I don't want to go to the cross. But the cross was the opportunity. There I go with that. The cross was the divinely created stage on which to enact the greatest demonstration of love ever demonstrated to the universe. And God forced that upon Christ because that brought the best out of him. You thought you saw the best of him when he was walking with his disciples. It was good. We saw healings. We saw the love. We saw righteous indignation against religious hypocrisy, but we didn't see the fullness of love until he was put by his Father in that circumstance. The Father of the vast throng and the Father of the 144,000 is bringing about a circumstance, the day of indignation, that is going to bring from the woodwork the glory, the Spirit in men and women, common men and women, who are, way back when, members of Israel. The 144,000 are the dispersion of Israel. And God has dispersed them to bring them back. This harkens back to what I was saying last week about breaking and healing. But this is another interesting aspect of it. It's not breaking and healing. It is breaking and healing, but with breaking and healing, you have to have the circumstances laid out where the breaking occurs. All right, this guy obviously is not going to break his leg on purpose. We want to show the healing powers of the human body. Send this person out on a ski slope, or send them on a mountain climb, or have them trip over a banana peel if you want to be a little less dramatic and glorious about it. So the circumstance has to be there. And God is the God of all circumstance. This should help you today in your life realize that God has to, He has to force circumstances upon you, whether to show your strength or to show your utter failure, because that's part of it too. Here, we're seeing the 144,000 thriving. They're coming out. They're like, we are the people of Israel, and they stand. This is what it says here later. It says they stand. They stand. But sometimes the trials God forces on you cause you to fall. What Zender told me I was supposed to stand. No, Zender said it could be that this circumstance was invented as the war for the general. The war was made so the general could shine. That could be, but it also could be that another valuable lesson needs to be taught, and that would be your humiliation. That would be your utter inability to do the things of God. That's what happened to Job. Job's trials were not meant for Job to be waving palm fronds as we're going to see if I ever get to this or the rest of this passage in the unveiling seven. The palm fronds of the 144,000 of the vast throng. No, Job did not wave any palm fronds. He sat in sackcloth and ashes, holding his head in his hands, mourning the day he was born. That's what his situation brought out of him. And he would have gone on in his perfect little world where, well, I'll tell you what, I'll offer sacrifices for myself, and because I'm such a good guy, I'll also offer sacrifices for my children in case one of them forgot. Bobby, Billy, Susie, you didn't offer sacrifices, but don't worry, I took care of it. Job was Mr. On the Spot, Johnny on the Spot, do everything, be everything, Boy Scout extraordinaire. He was an Eagle Scout, but he was righteous in his own eyes. He was, and he had to be rid of that. He said, I heard of you, now I see you. And so that is also the reason that God will bring you into a circumstance you don't want to be in. He told that to Peter. When you were a young man, you went where you would, but when you are old and decrepit, you will go where you would not go. And he did that to show him by which means he would glorify Christ. Peter's not going to go out and crucify himself. You're not going to go out and crucify yourself. Some of you may go out and enter marathons or climb Mount Whitney or Mount McKinley. Who knows what you're going to do? Because life's just too dull for you, you know? And life has become dull for this whole earth. Life's become dull. And I don't know if you've noticed, but the earth is not going to rouse itself from its stupor in order to praise the God of heaven and earth. They're not. And so now you see that the bringing of the day of indignation is a favor to bring out of the earth, out of the earth's inhabitants, the honor, praise, and glory that God deserves, but that he's not going to get if he leaves them alone. So it's really looking at it this way, the ultimate favor. That's what I'm seeing here. This is hitting me, like bowling me over now. It gives the day of indignation a whole new slant. I hate to use the word again, but it's an opportunity. It's a stage. And without this stage, you don't have this amen coming from the elders and the four animals and the messengers. Without the stage of Calvary, you don't have the greatest demonstration of love the universe has ever seen. You don't have it. And whatever circumstance you're in, apart from that circumstance, you don't either A, rise to the occasion and show a demonstration of the Spirit of God in you where you would look back and say, wow, I am really moving on in God because God did that through me. And I wouldn't have known that unless I was put in this horrible circumstances. Or B, the fact that you're a bit self-righteous, you're a bit smug, you're a bit sure of yourself, you're a bit like, what's wrong with those people? I got my act together, and God needs to show you that you're not. And it's just as important. It's just as important for that to happen as the former thing. So you're brought to the end of yourself. And who is the placer? Who is the one bringing this fastness on people? And in this case, on a whole army of people. It's God. He's the placer. And one of the elders, I'm actually moving on here, in verse 12 of the Unveiling 7, and one of the elders answered, saying to me, "These who are clothed in white robes, who are they, and whence came they?" There's another place where the elder's asking asking John. John's like, "My Lord, you are aware." And he said to me, "These are they who are coming out of the great affliction." Out of the great affliction. The great affliction was the necessary stage. "And they rinse their robes and they whiten them in the blood of the lambkin." Now, I don't believe that that means these are martyrs. It doesn't talk about their blood. They rinse their robes in the blood of the lambkin. Therefore, they are in sight of the throne of God and are offering divine service to him day and night in his temple. God loves this. He loves divine service. He loves worship. He loves fellowship. Not because he's attention hungry. Not because, you know, he wants to be a reality television star. It's because it is just as enjoyable for the worshipers, for the adorers, for the praisers, as it is for him. They're getting as much out of it as he is. It's mutually beneficial. It's symbiotic to the max. Symbiosis on steroids here. "They shall no be hungering no longer. They shall be thirsting no longer, nor should the sun be falling on them, nor any heat at all." Seeing that, we're going to talk about this, that their deliverance is related to what they've been through. This is going to comfort many of you. "Nor should the sun be falling on them, nor any heat at all. Seeing that, the throne-centered lambkin shall be shepherding them and shall be guiding them to living springs of water, and every tear shall God be brushing away from their eyes." Wow. There's the whole process. The predicament created, that is the stage, the blank canvas, if you will. The throwing the paint on the canvas, or the throwing the actors on the stage. God first creates the stage. Follow me here. Let's just stay with the stage instead of mixing my metaphors there. Creates a stage, throws people on it. And the people are just standing there. Because we human beings are victims of inertia. And we don't like to try ourselves. We can't. We don't have the wherewithal. Some of us do because we're crazy. And then God takes his people on the stage and he creates a circumstance. He lights a fire. He rattles the stage, causes an earthquake. Or he sends pouring rain down. Some kind of indignation, some kind of trial and trauma. And now the people are split, aren't they? Now things happen. Players start to show who they are. We have those who rise to the occasion. We have those who fall apart and say, "I'm nothing." That's good too. But we also have those who say, "I want no part of this mayhem. I'm going to go watch The Simpsons." So nothing is shaken. Nothing separates. There is not the showing of what is good and what is evil. What is of Christ? What is of Belial? What is of belief and what is of unbelief? Until there is a shaking, until there is tribulation and trial. That's what separates the, quote, men from the boys. I'm speaking completely there on the relative scale, men from boys. God, it's true. That's what happens, but it's God who is doing that. And the men, women too, are just as much, that is those of constitution. They're just as much those who rise to the occasion and who show some indwelling of the Holy Spirit manifesting itself, just as much those people as those who collapse on sackcloth and ashes and say, "Great power be to God, because I am nothing in your sight." That is just as beautiful and a glorious manifestation of the Spirit as is the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So whatever produces that, I guess that's good, isn't it? And so now, I'm personally thrilled at seeing this amazing rise of holy people, the vast throng, come out of indignation. That personally thrills me. It really justifies everything that's ever happened in my life. I saw it before, but I see it more clearly now, and I hope you do too, that everything God brings upon you is an occasion. Thrown upon the stage on which you stand, the stage of your life. And it's essential to bring things out of you, for you to see who you are, or for the messengers to see who you are. And it, since you're in the body of Christ, it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. Nothing has overtaken you except what is human. And everything is working together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to His purpose.